Hello, it's Father Jim. One of the areas of spirituality that has touched me enormously is the 12-step program. I mentioned before my father was an alcoholic. I'm not myself, but a family that's had alcoholism in it is always affected. There are various groups for the sons and daughters of alcoholics. Because in an alcoholic home, nothing really seems to be what it is. We gave the impression, as a family, that we were the funniest, brightest, happiest family in the world. Got on well with everyone, cracked jokes. We were the life and soul of all the parties, but behind our front door, there was a deadly secret. We could never invite friends home because we never knew in what condition my father would be. When he was good, he was very, very good, and when he was bad, he was horrid. And as children, we used to sit on the stairs waiting for him to come back from his club after his work. And we'd be nervously, teeth chattering, waiting for that key to go into the lock. And immediately we knew what sort of an evening it was going to be. Heaven or hell. And my father used to sit in one room reading, his nose in a book, being antisocial and getting drunker. While my mother was in the kitchen being Martha, couldn't sit down. And I was the go-between. I was three younger sisters. I was always the go-between, trying to keep them in some sort of contact, my parents. Now, a go-between is a shuttle. You go to one, then you go to the other, then you go back to the other one. And if a plane is on a shuttle service, it doesn't stay long at any one destination before it's all aboard and back again. So it's quite tiring being a shuttle. Also, it's very lonely because if you're travelling at 2,000 or 5,000 feet, it's very hard for anyone to be on the same phase, at the same height, accompanying you. So I had the most wonderful interior fantasy world when I was very young. You know, there were goblins and elves in the woods and an amazing imagination. I once had to intervene when my father went after my mother with a carving knife. That's a rather difficult memory at the age of 12. But it did mean that we got caught up in what is a basic dishonesty in alcoholism, and really in all compulsive problems and sicknesses people have. Before Christmas, a van would come when my father was out at work with the booze for Christmas. I remember there were crates of whiskey, crates of gin, crates of sherry. And one year, I think I was 13, I told the van driver, "I'm sorry, he doesn't live here anymore." And the van driver went off. Of course, huge row the next day. Why hadn't it arrived? Well, that was rather dishonest of me. And then occasionally I'd drop a bottle accidentally on purpose. Does that mean one bottle less for him to drink? Well, you couldn't win, you just bought another. So there was a lack of honesty in the house with each other, and we were terrified of saying the truth because we'd be contradicted, or it would be another excuse for him to drink. Well, when I was ordained, I, for obvious reasons, found it very hard to help people who were drinking because it kicked up too much stuff in me. Instead of listening to the person, I suppose I'd be thinking, "Oh, I think of your poor wife and children, what are they going through?" Until one day, a man came to see me who had been a real wino, very angry man. And he had seen two men going into the basement of a church. He'd been sleeping out rough in cemeteries in London. In winter, he found a greenhouse. Well, he followed these two men in, thinking they were going for a handout. And when he got in, he found he was in a big room, about 30 or 40 people drinking tea. Tea, if you please. So he sat there muttering about, "Oh God, these do-gooders, tea, how wet. I want booze. Any money? No money here. Oh." Anyhow, he sat there in his dejection, and one of the group stood up to give their story. And he heard himself, because there is an amazing way that an alcoholic alone can be understood well by an alcoholic. Well, he came to see me and was received into the church, and he introduced me to the whole world of the 12th Step Programme, which I find one of the most deeply spiritual programmes in the world, not just for those with compulsions and illnesses, like alcoholism or drugs, but for sanity. And since then, I used to give weekends on the 12 Steps to various groups. They're one of the happiest weekends I've ever spent with people. In the parish I was in, we had a lovely room. We opened it up for a meeting once a week for Alcoholics Anonymous. It was an open meeting, so I could go. And for me, it was my weekly spiritual refreshment. And I soon learned that there are four things about this program and the people I've met that have a lot to teach the church. The first of these four things is this. One, we are all in this together. Alone it is impossible, but together, supporting and understanding each other, we can make it. So even if you've got drink inside you, go straight back to the meeting where you'll be welcomed. And I was amazed how people still suffering, still drinking, were welcomed firmly, but were with enormous love, because everyone understood. Secondly, don't look back. It's full of regrets and pain. Our Lord doesn't want us to look back. When the Jews left Egypt, they kept looking back, thinking of the melons and the pomegranates and the leeks and the belly dancers and the pyramids. So they went wandering around in circles. If a ploughman keeps looking back, he goes all over the place. In fact, the Jews only did the hokey-cokey in the desert for 40 years. They put their right foot in and they put their right foot out and turn about because they kept looking back. So the first important point about the church and these wonderful groups is we are all in this together. Secondly, don't look back. Thirdly, just for today. This is the sacrament of the present moment. Don't start promising you're not going to drink for the next 40 years. Today, just today, a day at a time, is what they say. And in the spiritual life, that is very important, not to start jumping jumps before we reach them, not always looking back, but to be really present. And in prayer, it takes me a while to become really present to the present moment. As we all tend to be a bit dissipated, you know, one eyeball's looking one way, the other eyeball's looking the other way. One leg wants to go to France, the other leg wants to go to America, so we do the splits. One hand gives and the other hand takes. It takes a while to find inner composure and for our inner civil wars to find reconciliation. Because God always is. He always was and he always will be, but for the moment, God is. My problem is, I want to be here and now rather than there and then. And I have found in these groups, such prayer, such contemplation, such inner serenity, which is something they pray for all the time. So firstly, we are all in this together. Secondly, don't look back. Thirdly, the present moment, just for today. And fourthly, we are all one drink away from ruination. I have never ever heard anyone at an AA meeting condemn anyone else because they're all so poor in spirit, because they're so vulnerable to their first drink. They've been there themselves. They've been to hell, back and forward, sometimes many, many times. Well, that's more than you can say about any group in the church, not condemning. Next week I'll look at some of the 12 steps and show how amazingly spiritual they are for health of mind and body and soul. But I'll end for now with their favourite prayer. It's called the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.